From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I've said this many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. It bears repeating. The issue of origins is not just a apologetic issue. It is the apologetic issue. And how one views their origins will ultimately determine how they live their lives. In truth, more consequences for society hinge on the issue of human origins than on any other. The far-reaching consequences of this cosmogenic mythology can be felt in virtually every area of faith and practice. But the most significant is that it undermines the very foundation of the historic Christian faith. And that is precisely why I have developed the acronym FARCE, to make it easy for you and your loved ones and for fellow Christians to remember precisely how to demonstrate the farce of evolution. Using the acronym FARCE, you will remember point by point why the mystery religion of evolutionism is in much the same condition as Marxism was before it collapsed. I am truly delighted to be able to put a very exciting, user-friendly resource into your hands. It's titled Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. You can get it for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute on the web at equip.org. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of people think that we need to give up this battle, that the evolutionist has won. Nothing could be farther from the truth. An article titled Skull Fossil Suggests Simpler Human Lineage. John Noble Wilford writes, after 8 years spent studying a 1.8 million year old skull uncovered in the Republic of Georgia, scientists have made a discovery that may rewrite the evolutionary history of our human genus Homo. Note the words, may rewrite the evolutionary history. It would be a simpler story with fewer ancestral species, he goes on to say. Early diverse fossils, those currently recognized as coming from distinct species like Homo habilis and Homo erectus, may actually represent variation among members of a single evolving lineage. In other words, just as people look different from one another today, so did early hominids look different from one another. And the dissimilarity of the bones they left behind may have, he writes, fooled scientists into thinking they came from different species. Scientists said the difference between these fossils were no more pronounced than those between any given five modern humans or five chimpanzees. The hominids who left the fossils, they noted, were quite different from one another, but still members of one species. So goes the article by John Noble Wilford. All of that highlighting the subjective nature of paleoanthropology. This is far from settled science. In no way proves that humans evolved from hominids, which in reality are extinct animals in God's creation, not made in the image of God. Hominids are not our pre-human ancestors. And to think so is not only a myth from the perspective of Scripture, but now a myth as well from the perspective of science. The ape-to-man icon, unfortunately, has become the argument. You know, that illustration of a knuckle-dragging ape evolving through a series of, well, imaginary transitional forms or hominids into modern man has appeared so many times in so many places that the picture has, well, it's evolved into the proof. In light of the fanfare, we would do well to remember that past candidates such as Lucy have bestowed fame and fortune on their finders, but have done very little to distinguish themselves as prime exemplars in the process of human evolution. Not only that, but as the corpus of hominid fossil specimens continues to grow, it's become increasingly evident that there is an unbridgeable chasm between hominids and humans in both composition and culture. Moreover, I should mention that similar structures on different species do not provide sufficient proof of genealogical relationships. Common descent is simply an evolutionary assumption that is used to explain the similarities. To assume that hominids and humans are closely related because both of them can walk is tantamount to saying that hummingbirds and helicopters are closely related because both can fly. The distance between an ape who cannot read or write and a descendant of Adam who can compose a musical masterpiece or send a man to the moon is the distance of infinity. Evolution cannot satisfactorily account for the genesis of life. It cannot satisfactorily account for the genetic code or for the ingenious synchronization process needed to produce life from a single fertilized egg. And nor can evolution satisfactorily explain how physical processes can produce metaphysical realities like consciousness and spirituality. The insatiable drive to produce a missing link has substituted selling, sensationalism, and subjectivism for solid science. Now, again, all of that to say that there is a special resource. It's a 4x6 laminated flip chart. I want to put it into your hands for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Here you will have a handy flip chart accessible to you in memorable format by which you can dispel the evolutionary fairy tale. You can master the arguments that demonstrate the farce of evolution, and you can remember those arguments for a lifetime. Once again, how one views their origins will determine how they live their lives. The flip chart available, you can get your copy on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Again, resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up, Paula. She's listening in Pennsylvania, Latrobe, Pennsylvania. Hi, Paula.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
And I just discovered you today, and I'm so excited. I'm in a current Bible study class doing a so-called study on Revelation. And a question came up, and I asked the pastor, or I told the pastor that, you know, we're to pray, our, you know, thy kingdom come. And he's telling me, no, we actually are praying that the kingdom has already come. And I was wondering if you could help me sort that out, because I can't get any clarity when I question anybody in this particular church further.
Yeah, well, it's true that the king has come. He has landed in disguise, as C.S. Lewis once said, and he's calling all of us to a great campaign of sabotage. But while the kingdom has been inaugurated, it most certainly has not been consummated. It will not be consummated until that day that Jesus Christ appears a second time, and then the veil between the habitation of God and the habitation of humanity will be removed, and then we can say, thy kingdom has come, just as we prayed that it would come. So I would say, yes, we can pray precisely as our Lord taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come, because we are still awaiting the fullness of the consummation of the kingdom.
Okay, now see, that's my understanding. I appreciate you, I guess, answering or validating me and my belief.
Well, your belief is based on the truth because the king, again, has come, but the kingdom is expanding, as it were. And we pray that the king one day will come, and he will, in fact, come a second time. We're promised that he would come a second time, just as he came at the first advent, so he will come in a second advent, a second coming. And when he does, then the kingdom will have been consummated.
Okay, I appreciate that.
You got it. Thank you for your call.
I really appreciate it, Hank.
You got it. And of course, as I oftentimes say, you got to test your feelings in light of Scripture. Hold fast to that which is good. Coming to a station break, we'll be right back with more answers.
Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back after the break.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and we'll go right back to our callers. Kate next in Washington, Missouri. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Oh, I have a question for you today concerning 1 Timothy chapter 2, and it starts in verse 9, talking about women, how they should dress in modest apparel and in moderation, and not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing. And I just kind of wanted to know what that means.
Yeah, well, look, in context, Paul is instructing women to act modestly. There were real economic concerns where you would have the wealthy showing off their expensive array to the denigration of the poor. And the truth of the matter was that Paul was making very clear that we do not have to abandon wealth, but we are to harness the wealth of the world for the sake of the kingdom, which is to say, if we abandon wealth, it doesn't just disappear, someone else controls it. But we shouldn't flaunt wealth. We should use it for ultimately the extension of his kingdom. This also, by the way, applies towards the principle of discouraging sexual immodesty. A woman should be modest in all of her activities, just as a man should be modest in his activities.
Okay. So it does not mean that you cannot wear jewelry, but it just...
No, and the reason it doesn't mean that is if it did, the Bible would be schizophrenic, because there are certain examples throughout Scripture of women being beautifully arrayed. But the idea is not that you cannot have wealth, but you shouldn't be flaunting the wealth nor drawing attention to yourself improperly.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Tom. He's in Washington. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah. I wanted to let you know that, I really respect you. I'm this first time call, and I come from a family of 15, same mother and dad, a very strong Catholic family.
Wow.
And
that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and we've all grown up and never had any trouble with the law or anything like that. They were great parents. You know, I don't believe everything as a Catholic that they put out. I have trouble with some of the stuff. So I go to a non-denominational church, and I feel real good there. But I became a Christian about 5 years ago, and I'm a Vietnam vet, and I struggled for, 35 years or so with PTSD. And the Lord, once I turned my heart over to him, he just lifted that veil.
Oh, wow.
And I had a question for you on Micah 6:8.
Yes.
I was studying that this morning, and it came to my mind, let's see, how do I see that in today's world? How do I apply that? I'm trying to understand how I can use it or apply it in nowadays.
Sure. Well, in context, this is the Lord's case against Israel. In fact, the text actually tells us the Lord has a case against his people, and he's lodging a charge against Israel. And as a result of that, we have God making very clear that he is not pleased with burnt offerings, but he is pleased with sacrifices from the heart. And in that context, then, Micah writes, he has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? It is to act justly. It is to love mercy. It is to walk humbly with your God. And all of that is as applicable to us today as it was in God's case against Israel, because Israel was not acting justly. Israel did not love mercy, and Israel did not walk humbly with the Lord their God. In fact, called to be a light to the nations, instead they prostituted themselves with the nations. And as a result of that, they were driven from the land of promise. So the application for us today is that we must love the things of God. And as Israel was called to be a light to the nations, so too we are called to be a light to the nations, not only abroad, but in our family, with your kids, with your wife, with your friends, with extended family members. Wherever God has placed you, you're called to be a light among the nations. So this has transcendent meaning and application for us today.
Oh, I'm telling you, you put it so succinctly and clear. I totally get it. I felt that I'd gotten it about maybe half of what I needed or wanted. And the way you put all this, you know, I absolutely see it now. I do.
I appreciate you calling. Blessings on your family. I want to go back to the phone lines now, and we'll talk next to Morgan in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Morgan.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I had a question about out-of-body experiences. I had, before I knew what they were, I had an out-of-body experience. I was fully conscious and relaxing and just taken out of my body a few years ago. Just I tried to speak and pray. It was really terrifying, and I couldn't talk, and that's when I looked down and realized my lips were not attached to my body. I was just exploding, about to go through my ceiling. And I started to do research about this. I thought it was crazy, and I didn't know what was going on. And a lot of people have these happen, and I've had similar experiences since. I had a really terrifying stream of experiences recently, and I'm just wondering, what are out-of-body experiences? Is it something that we should embrace or be concerned about, and why do we have them happen?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting that Paul, whether in Lystra or on a separate occasion, speaks of being caught up to the third heaven. And he says, whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but God knows. And then he talks about hearing inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. And I think that last phrase is very important. Man is not permitted to tell. So Paul humbly refrained from boasting about his celestial experience so that no one would think more of him than was warranted. And I think there's a couple of things that we can get out of that. First, that Paul tacitly acknowledged that it is entirely possible to have an out-of-body experience. And if so, there is a biblical precedent for contending that the soul continues to experience conscious awareness apart from the body. But more importantly, we should note that in sharp contrast to modern near-death experiencers, Paul was not permitted to speak of his surpassingly great revelations. So I think what we need to do is, rather than set our sights by those experiences, we ought to set our sights for faith in practice by the Word of God. One is subjective, the other is objective. The Word of God is objective. The out-of-body experiences are subjective, and as such are notoriously unreliable. I'm not suggesting that they're impossible, because there is a precedent for the possibility of an out-of-body experience, as I just expressed. But I am saying that because it is a subjective experience, we don't want to try to set a doctrine for anyone else based on what we experienced. And this is what happens so often. For example, I was listening to a Reinhard Bonnke story about a resurrection from the dead. And the man who was supposedly miraculously resurrected from the dead after being dead for 3 days had been to heaven, had been to hell, and he was said to be sent back by God for a testimony to this generation to tell about what happens on the other side of the veil and so forth. But the reality is, I mean, if you just test this in light of Scripture, First of all, the story has all kinds of problems associated with it. It doesn't correspond to reality. It is a sham, quite frankly. But apart from that, if you just test what this person said in terms of what God told him to do, it doesn't correspond to what we find in Scripture. In Scripture, we are told something emphatically. The rich man who died in Luke chapter 16 wanted to go back and warn his five brothers so that they would not come to a place such as this. What was the enigmatic response? They have Moses and the prophets. If they don't listen to them, they're not going to listen even if someone rises from the dead. In other words, Lazarus was not permitted to go back on behalf of the rich man to warn the brothers. So suddenly we have the Reinhard Bonnke story, a man coming back and doing the same thing. But it's, again, the principle is that we should test these kinds of stories in light of Scripture, in light, of course, fact in general, and hold fast to that which is good. Out of time, thanks for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.